Good afternoon, 4:30 and 86 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Democrats aren't just missing on this stage. They're missing in Frankfurt, frankly. They're missing in action. They really are.
Governor Bevin tells a fancy farm audience this weekend it's time to end the Democrats' near century of control of the House of Representatives.
Two women remain hospitalized in critical condition after a two-vehicle crash in Morgan County on Saturday.
And another factory in the tri-state area is being shut down.
In sports, the Reds are in St. Louis tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy skies tonight with lows around 70. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Two women remain hospitalized in critical condition this afternoon following an accident in Morgan County Saturday that killed a motorcyclist. Kentucky State Police say 42-year-old Teresa Haney of Olive Hill and 46-year-old Janet Caskey of Clearfield were taken to St. Mary's Hospital in Huntington after the crash on State Route 7. Troopers say Haney was driving an SUV that crossed the center line and struck a motorcycle operated by 46-year-old Thomas Tufts of Flemingsburg. He was killed at the scene. Caskey was a passenger on the bike. Both were thrown from their vehicle.
Four people have been arrested after authorities found two bodies in Lee County over the weekend. According to the Lexington Herald-Leader, the body of 28-year-old Billy Roark was found off of Hell Creek Road in Beattyville Friday, and the body of 36-year-old James Brown was found in the same location on Saturday. Police say the men were shot Thursday night in two separate incidents. Police have arrested Wesley Johnson of Irvine and Kevin Kendall, Anthony Taylor and Cassandra White of Beattyville in connection to the murders. All four are charged with murder and complicity to murder. The defendants are lodged at Three Forks Regional Jail.
A local sports broadcaster and youth pastor has been charged with three counts of sexual abuse following an investigation by the Ashland Post of the Kentucky State Police. 49-year-old Timothy Carper of Grayson was arrested Friday and taken to the Carter County Detention Center. Carper is accused of engaging in inappropriate and unwanted contact with a student athlete at Paul Blazer High School. Troopers say the charges are in relation to posts on social media sites and text messages. Carper told the Ashland Independent last year the accusations were blown way out of proportion.
A soldier at Fort Knox has been arrested for allegedly trying to have sex with a minor. The story from KNN's Haley Hansen.
37-year-old James Caton, a military policeman at Fort Knox, was arrested after the Attorney General's Cyber Crimes Unit found an online ad he'd posted seeking sex with someone of, quote, any age. An undercover agent was assigned to the case and began talking to Caton as an underage person until he was located with help from the Franklin County Sheriff's Office and the U.S. Army Criminal Investigations Division. Caton has since been released from jail after posting a partially secured bond. I'm Haley Hansen.
Dow Chemical's decision to close its styrofoam manufacturing plant in Hanging Rock, Ohio, will cost the tri-state region another 30 well-paying manufacturing jobs. So says Bill Dingus, who is director of the Greater Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce. The area is still smarting from the furloughs of more than 600 workers at the AK Steel plant in Ashland. Dingus says it's getting harder and harder to keep those kinds of jobs. He says the challenge is universal and not any tougher in the Ashland-Ironton-Huntington corridor.
I really believe it is a national problem rather than a local problem. Maintaining those jobs, the whole what we call the middle-income family, that is the piece that has been hit on so hard. The middle-income, that level of entity that is so important for our community, is the one that's taking it in the chin.
Dingus says the tri-state can still be a manufacturing hub, but it'll need a better educated and well-trained workforce. He says many of tomorrow's manufacturers are going to need employees with two-year degrees and enhanced technical skills.
If Great Britain does not make a smooth exit from the European Union, Kentucky could be hurt. The state's deputy budget director, Greg Harkenrider, says the Commonwealth has strong business ties with England and Kentucky's exports would be impaired if British economy goes into a tailspin.
The United Kingdom has been our second largest trade destination. We trade a lot of auto parts, aerospace, and related industries with the United Kingdom, and uncertainty over there and a bad economy over there is going to cough and we're going to get the cold.
Harkenrider says international exports are very important to Kentucky's economy. He says the Commonwealth is among the top 10 states for export growth.
Republican State Representative John Carney says he's glad Governor Bevin's administration is taking a comprehensive look at all the state's regulations on business. The Campbellsville lawmaker says few things can slow the economy down as much as an excess of rules and possible penalties for noncompliance.
I want us to be wise. I want us to be smart and protect things and not look the other way. I'm never asking anybody to do that, but common sense has to prevail sometime. And I've got some construction sites. You know, I'm afraid we're actually going to see a decline some eventually in that with the regulatory situation that we've got going on in this state and over this country.
Governor Bevin has asked his cabinet secretaries to review their rules and regulations and eliminate those they determine are unnecessary.
West Liberty is in need of a new airport. That's the belief of Jerry Mays, who manages the city's current facility. According to Mays, a replacement is required for the 40-acre airport if it's to become a major player in Morgan County's economic development efforts. However, Mays admits there hasn't been much discussion about that among local officials.
No, nothing that's gone anywhere seriously yet. Right now, we're trying to maintain what we have so that we can keep the service we have and not go backwards.
The West Liberty Airport is receiving $450,000 from the Kentucky Department of Aviation for runway improvements. According to Mays, the current facility on State Route 7 can't be expanded because it's landlocked by its surrounding terrain. The West Liberty's airport 2,400-square-foot runway is too short for many commercial jets to land on.
The Mason County Public Library Board is meeting today to decide whether to expand its current facility or build a new one. The current library has serious foundation problems and doesn't have enough room for meetings and its vast collection of books and other materials. Director Valerie Zempter is unsure what the board will decide, but says it all comes down to money.
We're supposed to get the final report on what it would cost to go either way, and I think that'll weigh heavily on whatever decision is made. This is a group of very community-minded people, and they're extremely responsible, especially when they're so aware that they're dealing with taxpayers' money. So I feel sure that they have left no stone unturned considering the outcome of their decision.
The Mason Board will make its choice after reviewing a feasibility study regarding a possible new facility.
According to Mayor Jim Tom Trent, the city of Moorhead is no longer in violation of Kentucky's open records law. The state attorney general's office recently agreed with some Fraley Drive residents who'd accused the city of denying them access to public records regarding a commercial building at the end of their street, which they think violates a town zoning ordinance. Moorhead officials say surveys show the structure is outside city limits, thus they can't do anything about it. Trent says the crux of the problem is that the city misunderstood a state law requiring a 3-day deadline to respond to an open records request, but that issue has been cleared up.
All of the documentation that I'm aware of, according to our city attorney, has been turned over, and there is a very narrow amount of information that can be given when an individual, under the law, requests it. In other words, when you request something, we can let you have things that are tied to you directly, because if not, whether it's a relative, friend, son, daughter, whoever, if you request information for them, they have to legally request it.
Trent says that applies to emails regarding surveys of the property in question. Under the terms noted, he adds the Fraley Drive residents will get the documents they've asked for.
Moorhead State University has named an interim director for its Mount Sterling campus. Dennis McKay, who has been with the university since 1988, was tapped for the post and began his new duties today. McKay most recently has headed the Welcome Center and graduate admissions.
Sarah Larson has been named assistant director for academic advising and retention at Moorhead State University. Larson has been with MSU for the past 14 years and most recently served as Senior Woman Administrator within the Department of Athletics. In her new post, Larson will be responsible for data collection and analysis of retention initiatives. She received her master's degree in Sports and Recreation Administration from Morehead State and earned a bachelor's degree in Nutritional Sciences from the University of Missouri.
The Morehead State Police Department is preparing for a full-scale hands-on-deck operation as several hundred students refill the university's dormitories this week. Wednesday and Thursday will mark MSU's freshman move-in days. Lieutenant Jared Hunt says that will involve a lot of hard work and coordination among the 16 officers in his department.
On move-in day, we'll have at least 14 officers out, along with a couple extra personnel as traffic assistants, and maybe even a dispatcher or two helping with the dispatchers and the traffic assistant will help in the areas that the north end of campus, the single-lane roads, and stop traffic, keep them coming towards the move-in traffic.
Hunt says there will be several road closures during the move-in day.
Kentucky State Police are warning drivers to be diligent in following school bus safety laws. Sergeant Michael Webb reminds us that there is a good reason why passing a school bus during loading or unloading is a crime that can land you in jail.
Last year in 2015, Kentucky had over 800 school bus-related crashes, 852 to be exact. We had 297 injuries and sadly three deaths involving school bus crashes.
Breaking these laws is a Class B misdemeanor for the first offense and a Class A misdemeanor for a second offense, punishable by up to a year in jail.
The Isonville Volunteer Fire Department is facing a lawsuit over rent payments. Here is MSPR's Samantha Morrill.
The VFD in Isonville has been leasing the land and garage where they store vehicles and equipment since 1995. According to the Ashland Independent, they have been renting the space for the state-mandated minimum of just $1 per year. Now, the new owner of the property is suing, saying they have not made that payment in 16 years. Officials with the VFD believe the owner wants to obtain the garage there for personal use. The case was presented Thursday in Elliott County District Court. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Samantha Morrill.
Republican Governor Matt Bevin used the weekend's fancy farm picnic to appeal to Kentucky voters to flip the House of Representatives this fall. Bevin says it's time for a change after 95 years of Democratic control. The governor took note of the fact that there weren't many Democrats at the annual event and said if they don't want to lead Kentucky, they should get out of the way.
I will say this, in all seriousness, we disagree on certain things, fair enough. Again, it is the greatness of America. I would say to Greg Stumbo and others who have chosen to boycott on whatever reasons they have chosen it for, if you can't run with the big dogs, stay on the porch.
Bevin told the crowd Democrats weren't just missing at Fancy Farm. He said they're missing in action in Frankfort.
BBC World News America anchor Katty Kay says there are stark differences between the way her network covers news and that of the U.S. broadcast networks. Kay discussed the distinctions Sunday on KET's One to One with Bill Goodman. She praises the American broadcast networks for their level of professionalism and production values. However, she says they don't spend much time on news around the globe. The BBC, says Kay, goes the extra mile to show how interdependent the world has become.
What happens in Athens, Greece, affects people in Athens, Ohio. It just does. And so to try and make sense of that for an American audience that doesn't get, frankly, an awful lot of foreign news, of global news, is a challenge, and it's satisfying, and not many other people are doing it. I think the other thing that the BBC brings, we don't have yet in the UK, and I'm sure it may well come, the phenomenon of talk radio or of talk television.
Kay has worked for the BBC for more than 20 years. She is the co-author of a new book called The Confidence Code, The Science and Art of Self-Assurance.
The rising bear population in Kentucky should be met with increased education about ways to keep the animals off people's rural homes and farms. That's the view of Grayson State Senator Robin Webb. She says not everyone realizes the potential hazards of contact with bears, whether they're at home or hunting in the woods.
Certainly bear spray has now become part of my hunting pack equipment. So, and I would advise that for everybody because, you know, we did have a light mast. I was deer hunting this year, ran into a few, some with cubs, and, you know, that can be a dangerous situation.
Besides better education, Webb also believes Kentucky should consider expanding its hunting season for bears. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly cloudy skies with some isolated showers and thunderstorms. In the evening, lows will be around 70, and that chance of rain is at 20%. Your Tuesday will be mostly cloudy. There's a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be near 87. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows around 73. And your Wednesday will be mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 80s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it is currently 81 degrees in Ashland, 85 degrees in Flemingsburg, 82 degrees in Inez, 86 degrees in Lexington, 89 degrees in Winchester, and it's currently 86 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:46, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. How should West Virginia prepare for the consequences of another rise in natural gas prices? Dan Hyman takes a look at that question on our feature story this afternoon.
If the gas market follows classic patterns, drilling in the Marcellus Shale will rise once the price climbs from the basement. What should West Virginia do to prepare? Sean O'Leary follows the gas industry for the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy. He says the state should gear up for more drilling activity by bumping up the severance tax to save for the future. The industry argues that would discourage drilling, but O'Leary says we can put more into the state's future fund without hurting the industry.
Right now we have the future fund on paper, but we're not putting any revenue in it. They're continuing to drill even at low prices. A small increase in the severance tax is not going to have a major impact on the industry.
The center has also suggested a tax on liquefied gases sent out of state, such as ethane, butane, and propane. They say that would encourage plants that use those gases to set up here. O'Leary says the state should have a central clearinghouse for information about the industry and put more effort into public education.
Making sure landowners know about the gas industry, what their landowner rights are, what all knowledge should they have before they sign a lease, and making sure that we're openly communicating with both the industry and the citizens who are affected.
Labor unions have argued that too many of the drilling jobs have gone to workers coming in from other states. O'Leary says although the state did some preliminary research on the issue, it never followed up. He says it would be good to get solid numbers on the impact drilling has as the wages move through the state's economy.
We're not really estimating those indirect jobs, and we're not really systematically tracking what jobs are going to in-state workers and how much of that income generated is staying in West Virginia.
O'Leary's organization, the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, along with peer organizations in Pennsylvania and Ohio, recently compared how the three states are handling gas drilling. A copy of that study can be found on the center's website. For the West Virginia News Service, I'm Dan Hyman.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Sean has sports right now.
The road trip's rolling on. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. The Cincinnati Reds will open a series in St. Louis tonight with the Cardinals at 8:15. The Reds are 13-8 since the All-Star break, and second baseman Brandon Phillips tells Fox Sports Ohio it's been fun.
Oh, it really shows you that, you know, the future is here to come, man. I'm happy for whatever's going on, and I'm just happy that I'm still here playing this game that I love, man, and whatever happens, happens. You know, I'm just enjoying the ride and happy to play with these guys, and, you know, we're playing good baseball. We try to put on for our city. That's what it's all about.
The Reds will send 0-6 rookie Cody Reed up against the Cardinals tonight. St. Louis will send 7-7 Michael Wacha to the mound. The Moorhead State Football Eagles have begun a week of two-a-day practices. As Coach Rob Tenier looks for his team to get a lot of important work done, he expects his group of veteran players to take MSU's freshmen under their wing.
To be great role models, lead by example, and then, you know, have a shared vision. Make sure those young players buy into what our expectations are. We want to be a consistent winning football program, and I think we've got some really good leadership.
MSU's roster features 16 seniors and 16 juniors, many of them with starting experience. The Eagles kick off the 2016 season on September 3rd at James Madison. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops thinks his team's new offensive coordinator will do a great job. Stoops hired Eddie Grand in the offseason. He says Grand brings an important element of leadership to the Wildcats' offense.
You have to have a leader take control of that side of the ball. And the fact that he went on and became a very successful offensive coordinator at Cincinnati, brought one of his coaches with him that worked with him there and coaches the quarterbacks. I know exactly what I'm getting with Eddie. Couldn't be more pleased with where we're at and where we're headed.
Grand formerly worked as the University of Cincinnati's offensive coordinator. Stoops also hired Darren Hanshaw, who worked under Grant at UC, to coach UK's quarterbacks. Athletic director Greg Burns says Zach Hamilia, a senior offensive lineman for the University of Arizona, died in his sleep overnight. Burns and Arizona coach Rick Rodriguez told the team of Hamilia's death after practice Monday morning. A fifth-year senior from Chandler, Arizona, Hamilia was 22. He started six games at left guard last season and was a leading candidate for the starting center's job this year. Burns says Hamilia was found by a cousin. There is no immediate word on the cause of death. Moving on to headlines from the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, the United States women's basketball team dominated this afternoon, trumping Spain 103-63. Brittany Griner scored 8 of the USA's first 10 points. They'll face Serbia next Wednesday at 2:30. Stanley competitions have started today despite concerns over contaminated water. An independent study by the Associated Press has shown high levels of viruses and bacteria from human sewage in the bay. The Institute of National Anti-Doping Organizations is applauding the decision by Paralympics officials to ban the entire Russian delegation. NATO Chair Doug McQuire said Paralympic officials rightly put principles before politics in making this most difficult decision. Russia is planning on appealing the ban, which was announced Sunday. The Memphis Grizzlies have signed guard Tony Roten, forward Troy Williams, and guard forward Wayne Shelton Jr. and DJ Stevens. The Grizzlies announced each of the four signings Monday. Terms of the deal weren't disclosed. According to ESPN, the Golden State Warriors will face defending NBA champions, the Cleveland Cavaliers, on Christmas Day, and the Oklahoma City Thunder are scheduled to play host to Kevin Durant as a member of the Warriors. Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd has added a new assistant, a former prep star in the Commonwealth who went to a four-year career at Wright State. Abby Jump comes to MSU after spending last season as the director of operations for the women's hoops program at Bucknell.
She comes to us with good experience there. I think as a young lady that's been around in our state for a good while, was an all-state player at Ryle High School, and just has really good work ethic, and we feel like she'll step in and be a big help for us.
Jump initially signed with Morehead State out of high school, but followed former Eagles coach Mike Bradbury, who signed her when he left MSU to take over at Wright State. And finally this afternoon, Rowan County boys soccer coach Max Hammond says his team is making progress in its practices as the Vikings prepare to defend their 16th region title this fall. In reloading the mean green, Hammond is slowly getting an idea of what kind of team he might have in 2016.
Starting to. You know, we had those bluegrass games, and it's pretty much been it. We're just still trying to figure things out as far as formation-wise and who to play who where and who to play where and so on.
The Vikings finished last season at 18-8-1. They'll start their 2016 schedule on August 16th at Bourbon County. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available with 6 home games on the schedule, including Campbell, Marist, Jacksonville, and at 6 p.m. on Saturday, September 10th, the Virginia Military Institute. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed slightly lower despite a rise in oil prices as investors awaited key retail sales data due later this week. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 14.24 at 18,529.29. The S&P 500 was down 1.98 at 2180.89. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 7.98 at 5213.14. U.S. crude oil futures were up almost 3%, settling at $43.02 a barrel. This amid a report of renewed calls by some OPEC members to restrain output, even as analysts warned of bearish fundamentals that brought prices to four-month lows last week. A slew of retail firms, including Nordstrom and Macy's, are scheduled to report quarterly results this week. And in other corporate news, Allergan reported adjusted quarterly earnings at $3.35 a share on revenue of about $3.7 billion. Profits beat estimates, but revenues fell short, and the stock was down today. The firm's Alzheimer's drug, Namenda IR, lost patent exclusivity this latest quarter. Auction house Sotheby's posted earnings per share that easily beat Wall Street estimates, with revenues also beating forecasts. And also Delta Airlines experienced a nationwide outage, grounding all of its flights today. Overseas, Asian equities rallied, with the Nikkei 225 advancing 2.44% and the Shanghai Composite rising almost 1%. European shares were slightly higher, with the Stock 600 index rising just 0.04%. Gold futures for December delivery settled $3.10 lower at $1,341.30 an ounce. And among your Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Exxon and Caterpillar, and the worst performers were Merck and Pfizer. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were CF Industries and Mosaic, and the worst performers were Bristol-Myers and Patterson Companies. Turning now to stocks of local interest, Ashland Incorporated was down 8 cents at $114.21. Home Depot was down 69 cents at $136.22. Marathon Petroleum was unchanged at $41.91. Also, Marathon Oil finished with a nice gain of 38 cents a share, finishing at $14.25. And Community Trust Bank was down 29 cents, finishing at $35.38. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
One last look at your weather for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, some isolated showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Lows will be around 70, and that chance of rain is at 20%. Your Tuesday will be mostly cloudy. There's a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be near 87 degrees. Tuesday night will be mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be around 73. Your Wednesday will be mostly cloudy. There's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures will be in the upper 80s. Your Wednesday night will be mostly cloudy. There's a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and lows will be near 72 degrees. For Thursday, mostly cloudy. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 80s. Thursday night, mostly cloudy. There's a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the lower 70s. And your Friday will be partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 81 degrees in Ashland, 85 degrees in Flemingsburg, 82 degrees in Inez, 86 degrees in Lexington, 89 degrees in Winchester, and it is 86 degrees here in Moorhead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition. This afternoon, we had help from Chuck Mraz, Samantha Morrill, Courtney Howe, Sean Delaney, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen. From the West Virginia News Connection, Dan Hyman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.